are now tuned to TEIJG, the world's best podcast coming from Fukuoka, Japan. I'm Eric the Yank.
And I'm Anthony the Crank.
Welcome to the last show of 2011.
That's it. We're on the last one today.
And it is Friday, December 30th?
It certainly is, yes.
Yeah, Friday, December 30th. Had to check, make sure my dates are right.
Sunny day, not too cold, no snow.
No snow, sunny, nice. But it's actually snowing up north.
Is it?
Yeah, I saw.
Oh yeah, that's up there.
Picture from somebody riding Shinkansen. There was snow out the window of the bullet train. So that's pretty good.
Yep, it's pretty cold up there, doesn't it?
But today is really sunny at night. Of course, tonight it's going to be freezing.
Yeah,
but the usual cold in the evening. But today the sun's out. The heat. We don't have the heat on. This room is nice and toasty. Yeah.
Yes, and all the parasols have been put away until next summer, right?
Yes. Yeah. So Friday, we're podcasting in the middle of the day on Friday, which means both of us are off.
Yeah, no work. Oh,
how long is your vacation?
Oh, it's
the
very,
conversation English teacher.
Oh, it's very short. It's only 6 days.
Only six.
But
days.
But it's better than nothing. You
yes,
know.
Yes.
And of course, the days go extremely quick, don't they?
When you're off of work, the days just blow by. When you're working, drags to a halt.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's just, so slow, isn't it?
So slow. And what have you been doing to keep yourself busy with that long holiday you had there?
I haven't really got into it yet, but we had our grandma's in the other day, and we had a bit of dinner at home.
Okay,
and just working out when we go where we're going to go. I think the wife's on call at the moment.
Oh,
for work, but I think we may be going down to one of her friend's places that we usually go once a year for the Osechi on the 2nd or 3rd.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just have to grit my teeth for that day and say how delicious it is.
Yes. Osechi is Osechi is New Year's food that's prepared in advance. So, I mean, the reason is, well, I don't want to say the reason. So since it's prepared in advance, you know, it's designed to last a long time without going bad.
That's true.
Which means it's, you know, probably not the most, we can say it's not the most appetizing stuff.
That's right, yeah.
It looks nice.
It does,
presentation-wise, it looks awesome, but.
And what's the worst thing about it?
It's freaking cold.
Exactly, yeah, it's cold.
Room temperature, which means it's colder than it is outside.
Yeah.
They keep it in the room where the heat's not on.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Osechi, good old Osechi. Yeah, you do have to, you got to sample it and act like you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Well, a few things here and there are okay, but, and you know what, I would say about 90% I don't really find too appetizing.
Yeah, it's not, but they, a lot, well, there are a lot of Japanese who don't like it too.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I worked at Nova back in the day, I said, do you like it? And most people were like, nah. It's just a tradition. Got to keep the traditions going, I guess.
That's it. I mean, the soup's not bad with the mochi in it because that's hot, isn't it? But the rest of it's, you know.
That's the, Ozonia.
Yeah, yeah.
Ozonia.
But I don't like, you know that yellow thing that looks like all pimply? What's that? I don't like that.
I don't know what that actually is, but yeah, I'm not a fan of that either. But, yeah, what is that thing?
Well, we'll have to work out. We don't know. We'll find out.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Well, if someone said the name now, we'd know straight away.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
exactly.
Yeah, it's that's not enticing at all. You know,
it's usually the thing I throw away.
Yeah.
Or leave in the bowl. Yeah, that thing's not the best thing. So we're breaking tradition this year, our family.
Yeah.
We used to have that big family reunion dinner with all the tables connected and like, uncles and aunties and grandparents all coming together. But now, finally, the people are old enough. They're like, this is just too much hassle. So it's been broken up this year. And we're just going to go to a restaurant by bus so all of us can drink. You know, a small bus, I guess. What would you say?
12 or 15?
Yeah, 12
or
15
like
people
that?
Bus. Yeah, a really small bus.
Like
yeah.
One of those buses that where they pick the kids up to go to swimming school
yeah, exactly,
and stuff like that.
Exactly. So
or
we're
the
take
oldies
one of those.
To take them out.
So it'll be my family, my in-laws, well, wife's mother and father, and then my wife's brother and sister's family as well. So it'd be a decent-sized crowd, but good that we don't have to. The other place was awesome because of the food, but preparing and getting all that shit organized in that one house was a – logistical nightmare. So it's good that kind of broke it up.
Yeah, that's. I think that's much better. A lot of people do these, you know, these days. I think as you get older and that too, it's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah, and some of the people that came thought they had to come in obligation when they really didn't have to, but they're like, they're pushing, you know, 90, 80, 90, and, you know, they don't get around like they used to. So I think my father-in-law decided, we'll just decide it so it's not so hard for the people who felt that obligation to go, yeah.
Well, I think people like that more too, you know, and they can relax more, and, you know, there's no cleaning up, and there's no setting up, and there's no, pulling everything down at the end either. So it's everyone's a winner, and everyone gets to drink because you've got the bus. So
yeah, and we do it in the summer for Obon, so I think probably once a year is enough for that big family reunion. I think that they decided, okay, we'll do it in the summer when it's hot and people can actually, you know, they're not frozen and well, I don't know which is better, cold or heat, yeah. But I guess they decided, let's just keep the Obon in the summer going, and we'll just cancel the one on the New Year's, and just everyone will do their own little thing, yeah. So we're changing plans this year. I'll let you know how it goes. I'm not sure exactly where we're going, what kind of restaurant, but I know we're taking a bus. So that means I'm going to be forced to drink.
Yeah.
By the father-in-law.
Oh, that'll be sounds pretty good.
It'd be pretty cool, I think. The best thing is, like, I hate when one person has to drive and that one person can't drink. And
yeah.
Japan don't play. If you drink anything,
You're gone.
You know, big ass fine. You lose your ticket. Your job will probably fire your ass, you know, if they find out. So, yeah, it's just not worth. It's not worth it.
It's strange how their sort of judicial system is in some ways.
Yeah,
like, you know,
it's really anal. Yeah.
Like with drugs. It doesn't matter if you get caught with marijuana, heroin, or cocaine. It's the same deal.
Thing.
And you're done. Back home, you get a slap on the wrist if you've got a marijuana cigarette in your pocket or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not promoting that. I'm just stating, you know, like how different it is, isn't it? Like,
and the funny thing is ecstasy wasn't illegal for a while. So, you know, it was just a substance.
Oh, really?
So until it was illegal, and the magic mushrooms weren't illegal for a while, yeah?
That's right. Everyone was buying mushrooms.
Yeah, they weren't illegal. So that's how black and white it is here in Japan, the laws. When they decide it's illegal, you're fucked. It's illegal.
Yep.
But if something new comes and they don't really know, or it can't be classified as – it's not officially classified as illegal, then it's okay.
Yeah, they just let it go until they find out, maybe we shouldn't, you know, and
exactly,
then they'll slap the big the red stamp on it. But yeah. It's funny like that, isn't it?
Definitely. So let's see, we got. I went by my friend's car shop the other day, and they were doing the old Soji. The old big
the winter torture cleanup.
Yeah, open all the windows and start cleaning.
Oh.
When it's freezing outside. So luckily my apartment's not that big, but I avoided the old Soji by telling the wife that I'll vacuum during the week a couple of times, and then I'll clean the windows, and, you know, to avoid the Arctic, you know, frost coming in when we open all the windows. I told her I'd do it, and so I did the vacuuming and you know, clean some windows and screens and stuff like that. You know, small kind. If she actually saw how I did it, she'd probably freaking do the big cleaning anyways. But I said, oh, yeah, I did that already. I vacuumed everything. So ran the vacuum, you know, cleaned the shower stall and all that stuff. I said, okay, can't you smell the cleaner? I did the old, you know, extra cleaner smell in the air, so they can definitely tell. So that's. Have you guys started your big cleaning yet, or are you going to do a big cleaning?
Well, you know, Emmy was cleaning this morning. My daughter was sort of, you know, doing a bit of cleaning. She said she's going to clean up, and she didn't do a bad job from what she was doing. You know, kids clean, but
yeah.
I mean, a room's clean. I'll be able to get the vacuum cleaner in there now.
Oh,
that's
there
what
go.
I'm saying. You know, I'll get to do the cleaning, but we're not doing really a big clean because you know they're doing all the construction on the apartment.
That's right. So no reason to open the windows up and have all the
crap on the balconies. They've ripped up all the carpet.
Ah.
And they've got their tools out there and there's dust and crap, yeah, you know, like you can't clean, you know, like I cleaned the front door on the outside and it's all dusty again. So, you know, that's only cleaning sort of inside.
So at the school, on the last day of school, they made the cleaning in the school's what, 10, 15 minutes usually in junior high schools? So they made it 35 minutes. And then, you know, just a longer cleaning session. Deeper clean, you know, they were squeegeeing the window. The students were squeegeeing the windows and all kinds of stuff. So they did the big cleaning there as well.
I mean, they wonder why kids and that and people get cold. Cleaning in the winter, they're getting wet. They're mucking around with the water and stuff. And, you know, like, damn, no wonder if everyone's got a cold. You're cleaning. And they don't use hot water.
No, it's freezing. There is no hot water.
That's it. But
there's only one faucet, and it's blue. It's not red.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's gonna, you know, nothing, but there is no water heater in the building. There's only a couple places have that, the inline gas water heaters. I don't know what they actually call those in English, but
geez, they went out in the 60s, didn't
they? Broilers, yeah. Yeah, they heat the water in line. Yeah, they don't. In America, we have the big hot water tanks that it kind of heats the water, but which is good and bad. But the ones here is you turn it on and the flame ignites, yeah?
Yeah, you can hear
it. And the water runs through the flame, which heats it up.
And you waste an incredible amount of water, especially if you want to have a shave in the morning or something like that.
It takes freaking
forever.
Yeah. But the only benefit is the hot water doesn't run out. Like in America, the hot water heaters, if you have five people taking showers in the morning.
Yeah, it's going to go.
The last one or one and a half showers is not as hot as the other ones because it's trying to catch up, yeah?
Yep.
But these ones, they'll waste all the gas you need to keep that water hot. So that's the only good thing about it, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
The inline water heating broiler system thing. It's funny, you push the digital thing on the wall, bloop, bloop, and then you hear this thing go,
yeah.
The fire.
Exactly. She started up. Away we go.
There's no pilot light. We have a pilot light in America that's always on.
Yeah, you don't see that. Yeah. Well, I don't know where it is.
I think it's just an electronic thing that ignites it, yeah. But in America, we have a pilot light that's always on, which is probably not the most energy efficient way of doing it, but it's kind of unique here, yeah. Space, too. There's no room to put big-ass water heaters, yeah.
No.
Like we have them in the basements and the lower levels of the house, but big old freaking tanks. But pretty cool. Let's see. What else? Osechi Ozoni. Oh, Otoshidama. Your favorite time of the year, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Put that money in that envelope and hand it out to the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, the kids love the new year, don't they? Here,
oh, yeah. They love it. How many envelopes do you have to pass out?
One, actually.
Oh, one? That's
just one for my daughter, like, you know. But
this year we have my niece and my two nieces, so that's two. Then I got a couple other my wife's cousins, one of them graduated high school last year. One of them is in junior college, so I don't know if he still gets any, but at least one over there, and then there's a couple other younger kids over here and there that we got to dump some money in the wallet. So I mean, in the envelope.
When does it finish? When you turn 20? Was it?
Well, it's kind of like Christmas. You know, there's 40-year-old kids probably getting, you know, living with grandmama, probably still getting a little money for the new year.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
And I'm guilty as charged. You know, my pop sends me a couple hundred every Christmas, so I'm guilty. I think officially it's coming of age? So probably coming of age at 20 years old or whatever.
So, but as they get older, they know they're not going to get as much or whatever. This world too.
But the kids, I mean, they're just waiting. Like they say, oh, what are you gonna do New Year's? Oh, I'm gonna get my money and I'm gonna go spend it. I'm gonna go buy this, go buy that, go da da da. Like, oh, you guys are just waiting for that money. So that's kind of like their Christmas, yeah. Because Christmas here, most Japanese will get like one or two presents, maybe not the whole big Christmas tree with all the presents. Yeah. But New Year's when they get that money. They buy their own presents, I guess. Something like that, yeah.
And Christmas here is a whole different deal to back home.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, is just completely different.
Get the old Kentucky bucket. Yep. Kentucky bucket with cake, which I did talk about last.
I think we hit that one. Yeah, that's.
But I actually found out that even like in Tokyo, you can actually still get some chicken.
Oh, you can,
but without an order. Well, Christmas Eve night, I think you have to order. But Christmas Day, I mean, Christmas Day or whatever, there was like a 40-minute wait just to get, you know, some chicken.
Yeah,
that's pretty. So there was an article about it too. It said one of the marketers heard a foreigner saying, "Well, I can't get turkey in Japan, so I guess I'll just get some chicken." So they said, "Okay, so let's make this thing Christmas equals Kentucky Fried Chicken." And that's how the whole thing started back in the day.
Right.
Brilliant marketing. Yeah.
Oh, well, very well done. And they've made a fortune, I reckon, over the years out of it, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. And I'll try to dig up that article if I can. It wasn't really that long of an article. It just said basically what I told you. But I'll try to link up in the show notes over at teijg.com. So see if I can get it over there.
Yeah. And it's not cheap, is it?
Nope.
I mean, where we're going tonight, well.
You know, people probably get sick of hearing this, but you really can't explain how good this place is.
Exactly.
Until you try it. Yep. Yeah. It's, you know, because you cook it yourself. It keeps coming for 2 hours.
Yep.
There's a salad bar. There's a drink bar. You know.
Coffee, desserts.
You know. All kinds of stuff. For the nice price of about 3,000 yen.
Yep. Around about
3,500
or something.
Yeah, something like that. When if you went to Kentucky and you ordered what you really wanted, it would cost you at least 2,000 yen.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, if you got like a 4-piece and then a salad or a side dessert, and you know, if you really got what you wanted, it cost you almost about 2,000. Yeah, 2,100, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be where we're gonna go is all you can eat for 2 hours. So it's hard to say. You guys out there are listening. You probably get sick of us hear us talking about Nabeshima's yakiniku. But it's awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, people have come back, right?
Yeah.
And we've taken them there, and they loved it, haven't they? They've said, God, this is cheap. You mean, you know, and the beer, you're getting bottled beer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as much as you want.
Not the fake hot bullshit. We're talking bottled beer. So.
And as much as you want for 2 hours. And they don't cringe about bringing anything out, do they?
Nope.
You order it and
you
it's there quick.
It. They're like, how many you want?
Comes out.
Yep.
Grill starts to get a bit dirty.
Change it.
No problem.
Yep.
You know?
And then the whole drink bar thing's even better. You know, it's just like go grab double-fisted, you know, colas or like melon sodas or if you want the cappuccino. They got the automatic cappuccino machines and cafe au lait and all that stuff. So it's a bargain.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, we also like yakitori, don't we?
Yeah, yakitori is definitely good. The chicken on the stick. But that place is dangerous.
Yeah. You got chicken on a stick. You got pork. And everything comes on like a skewer,
yep.
As we'd say, wouldn't you? But, explain how it's dangerous, Eric. We've fallen to that trap before, haven't we?
It's dangerous because those little pieces of chicken just go so quickly. And next thing you know, you got this little cup full of your empty straws, your skewers where you put them in there. And before you know it, you got like 50 or 60. And they're like a buck, you know, like 100 yen, 150 yen each. And then you're like... And then that's not even including all the beers you're drinking because, you know, the...
There's no all-you-can-drink beer.
Yeah, no all-you-can-drink beer, no all-you-can-eat... what do you call it? Yakiniku. Yakitori.
Yakitori, yep.
But you just keep... You see them? They have them all displayed out, so they look freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, give me three of these, two of those, five of those, and next thing you know, you ate 60.
And the bill comes out. Jeez.
Wow, we should have just went to freaking yakiniku. But it's just a different atmosphere, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So speaking of atmosphere, you're telling me about these stand-up bars. Tell me. Tell the audience, what are you talking about, this stand-up bar?
A stand-up bar is not like a normal bar as such or like a club or anything. Like there are foreign type bars here, like there's the Three Kings and the Black Sheep and Morris, and they've got you
pubs
know, all
and bars and
pubs
things,
and
yeah.
bars here, like a British pub or like an American bar or whatever.
Yep.
And you know they're not cheap. They're all right because you're paying for you know the atmosphere as well to sit down
exactly,
and they've got
exactly.
you know all the you know got soccer on or something like that, mm-hmm. sport and music or whatever.
Yep.
But you know, like a stand up bar is just like a liquor shop.
Yeah.
Now, there's no seats, so you stand up and there are tables and you can get little snacks in there. You just buy them yourself, whatever, you know, chips or, you know, dried fish or dried steak
squid,
and
stuff like
that. But the beer's so cheap, like I was in one the other night and Australian beer like VB, which is...
VB, mate.
Yeah, it used to be popular. It's not
now. It's a Victoria Bitters, right?
Yeah.
That's now, good. I like it.
But now they've changed the... Because
formula.
Of tax, the value,
oh, the value.
The alcoholic volume. So it used to be 4.9, now it's 4.3.
Oh, sounds like water.
Yeah, and it tastes like crap, to put it mildly. But anyway, to buy that in one of like the bars, you pay $7.50. But to buy it in a stand-up bar, $2.90.
Holy, that's amazing. That's like half price, yeah?
Yeah.
So but, you lose the seat, but you get half-price beer.
Oh, well, it's better than half price. It's
better than half price, yeah.
Against, well, yeah, it's a bit under half price, yeah.
So that could be the place that you go to first.
Exactly. That's what
Ping
people
pong.
Do.
Ah.
And, you know, you can, like, you've got the selection, whatever's in the fridge. Like, you've got big bottles of beer for, like, 350 yen. You know,
ooh,
that's a 750-ml bottle. You know, it's cheap. You know, of course, you've got the little glasses they give you, the little Japanese-style beer glasses, but the beer's cold.
Yep.
You know, the only thing is just standing up.
Okay. So I know now why they call it a standing bar.
Yeah, and there's a couple in Tengen. They're in convenient places. There's always a stack of people in there.
Oh, cool.
You know, like...
It's interesting how they equate no chair and half price beer.
There you go.
And you know it's pretty obvious that the restaurants are getting the beer at the same price anyways from distributors. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. So,
I mean, I guess they're small size. Yeah, these places are smaller size.
Yeah, this the new one that found is quite big. I'll take you there and we'll go and have a beer.
Definitely.
And it's a nice size. It's clean and you know.
So you're not really – it's just an atmosphere thing, yeah? And you get half-price beer. You get to stand and
– Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Especially when you're on the salaries that they're paying out now.
Oh, yeah,
you
definitely,
know?
Definitely.
You don't want to spend a stack of money if you don't have to. Like,
and like I said, you just go there, you know, drink a couple 750-milliliter big bottles and then, you know, head to the other place and enjoy
drink
the
one
food.
Beer.
Enjoy the sport.
Yeah.
Enjoy the footy or the, you know, Aussie rules or the
– Yep.
American football or baseball or, you know, music or whatever club you decide to go to. So good place to start, definitely.
Well, that's it. You can sit down. I mean, and you don't mind if you go to one of those other places and you order fish and chips or something like that.
Yeah,
definitely. Because, you know, you're
paying for the, you know, the ambiance, the table space and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. Definitely have to check it out. So what was the name of the new one you went to? Just in case somebody is in or around Fukuoka.
To tell the truth, I don't know the name of the
damn.
Place.
It's
a stand-up bar.
Stand-up bar in Tengen.
But
so.
I will find out the name of
cool,
it,
cool.
and we can put it in the notes. Cause
okay,
sounds good.
I think I have passed one, but I don't remember the name. It's on the corner.
It's in Daimyo. It's
not
far from the Black Sheep, which is the new Morris.
Yeah.
It's not far from there.
I think I know exactly which. If not that one, then I know there's another one that's pretty. It's a white, has a neon sign, and it's... Really low ceiling, stand up bar kind of place. But I never actually went in there. I didn't realize that the prices were so much cheaper. So.
Oh, amazingly cheap!
That's a good deal, definitely.
Yeah, so that's something to look out for if you you know you're going to come over here and work and you want to go out and you know have a big night out, start off cheap.
Oh yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. Oh man, let's see what else is on the list. Kohaku. We'll talk about the Kohaku. Basically, it's the yearly singing contest that happens on Japanese TV New Year's Eve every year. You got the red, a whole bunch of people in red, a whole bunch of people in white, and they have a competition. And then the audience and the local audience and the national audience votes to see who won. You know, basically all J-pop and Enka and you know, K-pop. Any popular artist that was on TV or in the on the radio or whatever.
Nice lovely little Korean girls, are they going to be there?
Oh, they definitely should be.
Damn.
I'm pretty sure Kata will make their way over there. And I usually record it because I usually don't like to watch it live unless I'm with a bunch of people. Because they have these long stretches of Enka and old folk music that will put you to sleep.
Does your head in, doesn't it?
And then they have like the talent comedians that they let sing. And you're like, oh, come on. You gave them every year you give them the mic and let them sing their stupid song because they suck. You know.
That ink is like a bloody, you know, a cat with laryngitis or something
much.
Like, you know, it's just, oh, God.
I think what's worse is they let the talents, the comedic talents sing.
Shocking.
That's like,
terrible.
Oh, my God.
Don't give them the mic. Yeah.
Let them be the MC. You can be the MC, but you can't even hold a note. Your song sucks. It sucks like. The last 10 years, they've been letting you do this shit, which is what irritates me. They don't change it up enough. They let the same old idiots come on there.
It's like many things here. They just don't change,
J-pop,
do they?
Popular J-pop music just does not change. You can watch once a year, and you'll get the gist of the whole freaking year. And mostly, I hate when they let the talents sing. It's like, there's so many good up-and-coming artists that you could easily replace these idiots
and
with.
Give them a chance instead of putting these old cronies on or about, you know.
Let them MC it. They're doing a great job MCing the show, but don't give them the mic. You don't need to waste the airtime on them. But I like watching it. I don't know. Do you ever watch it?
A little bit, but it does my head in.
It is too fucking long. It's like 3 hours.
I get stuck on YouTube or something like that, you know.
So I usually DVR it, record it. And then I'll fast forward and stop at the artist that I like. Fast forward, stop, and there's spans of Enka and old music that you're like, oh my God.
You go out to the mother-in-laws and they've got that stuff going all day long, and it just is like banging your head against the wall.
Definitely.
Yeah, but then you can guarantee whenever I sit down, that's when the Enka comes on.
And then this year is supposed to be the theme because of the tsunami and the earthquake and tsunami. It's going to be a theme of, you know, I don't know. I forgot what the theme was, but, you know, like togetherness and, you know, let's.
Oh, yeah.
We
can
do
you
it.
Understand
and, yeah.
that, can't you? You know?
So that's kind of cool. You know, let's be positive and get out of the economic and, you know, nuclear radioactive slump we're in. So, but that's. Another thing. That's it. It's just traditional Japanese thing, yeah?
Yep.
You stay right. home. You watch this Kohaku thing, the red and white thing. And then after that, what do you do at midnight?
Oh, the soba.
Soba?
They eat soba and...
And then after that, you got to go to the shrine.
Oh, yeah.
And the trains run nice and late. They keep them open until, like, God knows, all hours of night. So everyone makes a beeline for the popular freaking shrines. So it's a madhouse. It's cold.
Yep.
But the best thing is the shrines for the whole week have lots of food stalls and delicious yakitoris and takoyakis and fried squids and meat and candy apples and all kinds of good stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
If you go, you know, you don't want... New Year's Eve and New Year's, you know, midnight is when everyone makes a beeline for the popular places. So if you don't mind being crammed in a car or waiting in line and freezing your ass off, it's a good time to go. Maybe experience it once in your lifetime's enough.
And if it's not snowing, think yourself lucky.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then, but most people, what is it, three? Three is the magic number? They try to hit three temples, three different temples.
Yep.
Not three. The same one three times.
No.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah, they all go for three, don't they?
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
And I actually like to go on the second. The second or third or fourth.
Yeah, I do too because it's not nearly as
many.
Not
as crowded, but, I mean, the food is awesome there. The freshly cooked, I guess, yatais or the food stalls or whatever.
Yeah, well, I had, last time we went to Desaifu, and this was a couple of years ago, Yeah. I had one of those, we call them toffee apples, you say candy apples, right? Massive, great candy apple.
Yeah.
It was 400 yen, and I thought, damn, that's worth it, because it was a really nice apple, and it was huge, and I bit me lip, and of course, you know.
You know it's good if you bite your lip.
You know, the wife said, are you bleeding? I said, no, don't be stupid, I'm not. Said, candy apple. Oh, yes, I am. Next thing you know, the apple's red.
And you're like, that's just a battle. Oh, man. It's just a battle scar.
And you know, then, like you said, the chicken, I got some massive leg on a stick, it was cheap with that sort of soy honey sauce.
Oh, yeah.
It was nice.
And just the aroma and the smell. And it's cold everywhere, so if you walk close to the stalls, it's nice and warm. So the warmth from the gas or the coals, the smell, the beautiful women in there. I guess it would be kimono. Not yukata, kimonos. Kimonos in there, or their hoochie skirts and long boots. You know, that is Japan.
Exactly.
That is the Japan you love.
That aroma, you think, damn, I'm pleased I'm here. I'm going to make a beeline for the nearest stall here shortly.
Exactly.
You know,
and then you look to the right, you look to the left, there's just beautiful women everywhere.
Eye candy everywhere, you know.
That's just Japan. Like Japan. That is Japan for
and
you
then,
right
then
there.
You've got like, you know, you might probably explain it, like, you know, the umegai mochi.
Oh, yeah.
I stood in a line probably from here to the station, but I thought, I'm going to get two boxes. And I bought two boxes and ate the lot myself. Because nobody else likes it in the family, believe it or not.
That's strange.
But, yeah, they don't. Oh, Emmy ate, my daughter ate a little bit, but she prefers other mochi, not that. But it's, how would you explain it?
How the hell would you explain that shit? Let me just put a picture on the show notes to be easier. I will put a picture. Let me make a note of that now.
It's kind of a rice cake with beans in it. Red sweet beans. Yep. And they're pretty tasty, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's about the best way I can explain it. But pictures best.
Like if you look in the Japanese language textbooks, they'll say they call them Japanese convections.
But yeah.
I don't know if that. I guess technically it's a kind of a convection, yeah. So something like that. It's a mochi dessert of sorts, yeah.
Yep.
Snack or dessert or quote unquote convection, yeah. So. And, you know, mochi, this time of year, mochi is everything. You put mochi in your nabe, your hot pot soups. You put mochi in the osechi and the ozonis. Then you got the mochi ice cream, outside mochi, inside ice cream from the konbinis. Those things are awesome with the little strawberry or chocolate in the middle.
And it's a dangerous time for the real oldies to eat mochi, though, isn't it?
Remember, I'm sure we've told the story of where a nurse saved the grandmother's life by grabbing a vacuum cleaner and sucking the mochi out of her grandma's throat because she's choking on it. Mochi is no joke.
It happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, it happens. People die every year. But it's just, even us as, you know,
we're
adults,
be careful.
Gotta be you don't take too big a bite of mochi.
Just a bit at a time, otherwise, you know, it's a bit like a sink getting clogged, you know.
Exactly. So,
Yeah, it is a little bit dangerous, isn't it?
And I think we have video on YouTube of last year's mochi thing, yeah?
Probably. I think we do. Yeah, we do have I'm sure we've got one up there.
Basically, how you make mochi is you cook rice, and then you beat the shit out of it with a wooden mallet until it turns into a really sticky...
Like dough?
Dough kind of consistency, and that's mochi. And you put flour around it so it doesn't stick, and you put them in little balls, and you can put stuff things in it or just... let it get really hard, keep it in the freezer. You can warm it up and put a little sweet soy sauce on it and stuff like that.
In the old days when they didn't have fridges and that, they used to have to keep the mochi in water and change the water every day so they wouldn't go moldy.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I can imagine because mochi is pure starch. Yeah. So
that's it.
And you know the bugs like the starch, the sugar, so they just that shit would just grow.
Well, these days, you know, like, of course, we're lucky. It's pretty good, isn't it? You can whack it in the freezer. Oh, it lasts forever.
Yeah, we got some right there.
it's
next to the gin nuts.
Oh, have some of those. Yeah, they're all right.
The ginkgo biloba tree nuts. The gin nuts. Those things are awesome.
They are good.
Okay, let's see.
I'll tell you what, it's been a big year for the ugly old persimmons too. They've been trying to sell the suckers up on the corner.
Yeah.
You know, like from our place. And the oldies buy them.
I have not. Where's some wood? Knocking on wood. I have not touched any persimmons this year.
Oh, what a bonus.
Score. Is all I guess.
Yeah. They're selling those suckers for 350 yen a bag, and the oldies are buying them up by the bag load. And I think you can go right ahead.
Yep.
And but it must have been a bumper crop because people haven't been bringing them around home, eh?
Next time you see the oldies, tell them you will pay them 350 to take any of them off my hands. I'll gladly pay you 350 to take this whole freaking box.
Knock yourself out, you know, away you go.
Definitely, definitely. Let's see. Speaking of singing competitions, yesterday I was on YouTube, you know, doing those, you know, those long YouTube tangents of searches and videos and, you know, just losing 5 hours on YouTube, right?
Yeah, and you get sucked in sometimes, don't you? Like,
you just go to the search tangent and you just find these live concerts that last for, you know, a whole hour of Guns N' Roses in Germany or
it sucks you in. Sucks you in.
Yeah, you just lose time. But in Japan, because our IP is Japanese IP address, we get Japanese commercials and ads on the side. So recently, Japanese artists are starting to have their own channels on YouTube. So for anybody who's interested in Japan or studying Japanese, I'll put links up to at least one or maybe two. Amado Namie, who's a famous singer and dancer here, she has a brand new channel. And a couple other people, I forgot the names. But it's amazing that they have, you know, YouTube-sponsored channels of these artists. So, and they're not region-blocked or anything. You can, you know.
Have
anywhere.
You noticed recently there's been a hell of a lot more Japanese ads on YouTube?
Yes, yes, yes.
They're really ramping them up.
Got the soap one, got the new Google phone in Japanese, got the, what else? There's a whole bunch of, yeah, the games for Android phones, the goodie, you know, the social gaming companies in Japanese. It's all kinds of ads, so definitely interesting that a lot of people are actually jumping onto YouTube in Japan. You know, a lot of the, you know, professional people, not just, of course, normal people use it, but now the professionals are finally deciding, oh, this YouTube thing looks like it's going to be here for a while. So they're finally jumping on ship. So I noticed that a couple of days ago. I thought I'd mention that. I'll put links in the show notes to it.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, they're starting to get with it now.
And, speaking of celebrities, I read an article about AKB48. They interviewed the producer, the original guy who started him. And he started him in Akihabara. And he figured, I want to get girls, a whole bunch of girls, that we can develop into stars. Not let them practice secretly for a long time, then debut. He wanted them to develop in the public eye. So the people who are fans could follow them and cheer them up, cheer them on and stuff like that. Perv over him, you know. So that's the idea behind the whole group. And he said a funny thing. AKB48, Tony, how many members do you think are in AKB48?
48.
You would think.
Of course. It's 48 members.
There are now 94 members, active members that sing and dance and act in AKB48.
How does that work out?
I'm not sure how the math computes there.
Yeah, when I went to school, 48, was it not, how many, 94?
No.
It's, 96.
Yeah, 94 and 40. You would think maybe if someone was dyslexic, it would have been 84 versus 48. But
Yeah.
No, it's 94. I'm not sure what kind of algebra or calculus they're using, but the miscalculation.
They've got their own version.
Yeah. So,
but there's all these others now, isn't there? There's SKB48 and I don't know. Like, there's lots of others. What's the deal with that? Is this a cult type thing? I mean, I think the Indonesian girls, I think, either Indonesians or Malaysians, and they're pretty cute, and they're not
Taipei,
bad.
Vietnam, all kinds, yeah. And Hakata for HKT48.
Yep.
Which is Hakata's our city here. And I did a search on YouTube, since we're talking about YouTube, for view count of AKB video. The most views on one of their videos is a video when they're all dancing in bikinis.
Yeah.
And they hit 15 million.
Oh!
63,238 views. Oh, well, let me change that. 239.
There you go.
And it's just them. Wait, let me get to the good part. Hold on.
Oh, here we go.
At the beach.
Hey. There you go.
So you get the idea. Usual, typical J-pop music.
Yep, yep.
With a 48, well, what did I say, 94?
94.
94 broads. And right next to it, what do you see right next to this video here?
There is a big ad for, I can't read it from here.
7-Eleven.
Yep, yep.
7-Eleven.
Oh, they, are they wearing Christmas costumes?
Santa's helpers.
Oh,
so yes. 7-Eleven AKB advertisement for Nanako Kado. Nanako Kado, which is the rechargeable cash card.
Yes,
yeah.
That's it. Yep.
So that's pretty interesting. This is the official AKB channel too. Got 15 million fucking plays on this thing. Unbelievable.
And would that be bringing in some sort of revenue?
Oh, yeah. Those guys have revenues. The top-level partners have really good revenue splits with YouTube. So normal, like, there's tiers of partners, supposedly, I heard recently. Normal, like, I think it's not. Normal's not 50-50. Then there's, like, one step up, real partners, 50-50. And then I think these kind of partners, like the industry partners, is a lot bigger.
Well, they get a lot bigger percentage.
Maybe like 70-30 or something like that, yeah. So big, big is all I got to say. So 94 members, and the producer's like, you know, he wanted to – he said these girls are not fully developed artists. They're the idea is that he wants the fans to pick the ones they like and to cheer them on to make – you know, they can get better and better and better. So that's kind of an interesting marketing spiel. Instead of having, you know, like the group come out and be already, you know, good dancers and good singers, yeah, trained,
yeah,
and all that stuff.
Oh,
so
it's a whole different concept way of doing it.
And he started in Akihabara. And I'll link up to the article. It's a really good read from the Wall Street Journal, actually. It's a pretty good article.
It's like all that Japanese, you know, like pop and all that sort of thing. Everybody sings, though.
Yeah.
It's
honestly,
an
AKB song sounds like a Morning Musume song.
Yes.
Sounds like a whatever the next, you know, whoever the next freaking flavor of the week is, yeah.
Yep.
Honestly, if I played that and then I played Morning Musume song, you would not know the difference. And Morning Musume is the group when we first came to Japan. Well,
that's right.
What, about 99, 2000-ish? Yep. When I first came to Japan, they came out.
And they were big. They were big.
Big. And then after,
exactly the same.
After they got to, you know, like, high 20s.
Too old.
They're too old now.
They're too old. That's it.
Actually not
put a fork in her. She's done.
Mid-20s. You know,
yep.
Like,
you're too old.
You're too old. Sorry. Yeah. And they still, like, you see them on TV, they're still hot.
Oh, of course.
And they're still hella young, but not young enough.
You know, if you hit 30 and you're not married, you're a Christmas cake here.
Yeah, you are a
which is absolutely ridiculous.
Losing girl.
Yes.
So, okay, and let's see. Oh, one quick thing I mentioned last week was that the new soccer jerseys were getting ready to come out. And I said on the podcast I couldn't say anything else about it, but I've actually had a picture of them for 2 weeks before that. Because I have an industry connection that sent it to me. He said, do not show anybody. So I actually saw it a week before. And he's like, you can show your friends. But he said, do not even put it on a computer anywhere.
Nah, nah.
So they finally debuted on TV. And it looked pretty cool. Except it's like a really, like almost no collar. So the design looks good. And I'll put a link in the show notes. But except for the lack of a really, really narrow collar. It's Adidas made the... is the official company or whatever that makes it. So.
Oh, right.
Pretty interesting.
Getting back to the girls there for a moment, you can definitely tell there's a difference between the Japanese little hoity-toity girls compared to the Korean girls.
Yes.
Isn't there a big difference as far as their singing and choreography is the word?
Yeah, choreography is definitely the word.
There is a big difference.
Yeah, and I think it's on purpose, too. I think... they try to get the OC, the over cute.
Yes, yes.
In the AKB, you know, type groups, yeah.
Because that's the Japanese style, isn't it?
Yeah, I call it the OC, the over cute.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, not,
but the Korean girls, they're much better, really.
And sometimes when the Korean girls try to do the OC, the over cute, they can't quite pull it off yet.
Yeah, it doesn't
quite
work.
No, you guys just go back to your normal, you know, style. You can't pull off the OC unless you practice for years.
Yes, yeah.
So you got to have that upbringing in the naive upbringing in Japan, I guess, technically. Something like that. But if you just watch some videos side by side, maybe I'll do that. I'll put two videos
up, you know, and they can have a look.
They can kind of compare the OC cute and then the normal K-pop style thing. So pretty interesting, yeah.
And that's become pretty popular over in Japan too, K-pop.
Yeah, and even Sky Perfect TV advertises they have Korean music show channel. All Korean music, all K-pop, just recently on TV, I saw. So it's definitely a boom and pretty popular. And a lot of the Korean stars are really practicing their Japanese too, yeah. When they come over, they're actually interviewing in Japanese, so pretty interesting. Like, wow. They know how to move to do the market, but the Japanese artists don't seem to want to push outside the country sometimes, yeah?
Exactly, yeah.
The comfort zone is here, and you know they don't want to make more money. Occasionally they will, but it's not as aggressive, I guess you could say, of marketing outside of Japan. What else I got on the list? I got some Vegemite.
Oh, you grabbed yourself a jar of the good stuff?
Yes. And I just said that because I knew that our Australian listeners who might be moving to Japan, in almost every big city in Japan, you can find Vegemite at least one store. So, of course, you should probably bring one with you. To kick you off. Are you a big Vegemite eater?
No. I do eat it sometimes, but I'm not a big fan. The wife even eats it sometimes, but yeah. I don't eat it every day. Like, I do know some Aussies who love it. You know, they eat it every freaking day. But I can't eat it every day.
Yeah, I'm like once in a while. So that one jar of Vegemite will last me a year. I keep it in the fridge because I'm like, yeah, it's a... Even though it probably would never go bad because that stuff is...
Yeah.
It's pretty foul. it's kind of like the Aussie natto, yeah?
Yeah, and Aussie, yeah.
Japanese has the fermented beans and the Aussies got the Vegemite. And what else? Stand-up bars we talked about. Oh, the New Year's travel is one of the biggest traveling seasons, yeah?
Yes, it is. And so, they know how to charge, don't they?
Oh, hell yeah. They make all their money during... New Year's, Golden Week, and summer vacation, yeah. The travel companies make enough money for the whole year, those three times. And supposedly, out of Narita, in one day, 40,000 people will be leaving. That's only one airport.
Wow.
40,000.
And then they've got the two, haven't they? Because at Haneda, too, they fly out of, right?
Yep. And then so they got Kansai, and they got Fukuoka, and Nagoya, and Sapporo Airport. So there's lots of people leaving from everywhere, yeah. Hiroshima, I think, has an airport that people leave out of as well. So
I don't know. On the schedule, I don't know what day it is, but a Japanese friend was telling me, like, there's one flight, and it's the last flight that goes from, I don't know, out of Haneda to down to Fukuoka.
Yep.
And the price is always way above the rest because they know that that's the last flight. Yep. And if you're going to go home or want to get home, you're going to pay.
Yep. That's highway robbery, yeah.
Yeah, and they do it, and they just get away with it because it's the last flight.
That's just robbery. Robbery, that's all.
Charge like wounded bulls.
Like my buddy, our friend James went home, and they paid twice as much as normal, yeah, just to go home. It's the only time he could get off his new job, so it's like, you know, you got to pay the preacher.
Oh, so he's going home.
Yeah, he wanted to have his Sunday experience. You know, American Christmas with the in-laws and all that, the relatives, all that stuff, grandma, grandpa, and Christmas tree and turkey. So I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But I wouldn't have gone home. I would have pushed it until after Christmas when the prices dropped or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes you gotta take what you can get.
Sometimes you gotta bite the bullet and, you know, think, oh, well, you know, if we can only go this time, we can only go this time. We just gotta pay the preacher or piper or whatever. Pay the man.
Oh, yeah. So my list is finished. We're at the 48-minute mark. What do you think?
Oh, I've got another story.
Okay, let's hear it.
Where I work in the Aikawa situation, like the company in one of the schools in Fukuoka, have decided that they thought the school was a bit too big. So since it's on the same floor as the company, that they've completely taken a very large percentage portion of what was the school. So now they've also...
That makes sense.
Now the teacher's room is about, you know, it's like a shoebox. You know, if you happen to drop a fart in there and someone else is there, you'll be up on an assault charge. It's that small. You couldn't swing a mouse in there, let alone a cat.
Damn.
You know, and there's no heater. And the actual rooms are very hospitalistic, use a word. They're much smaller, you know. They're the old dog box style, you know.
Oh, man, that sucks.
And, the thing that
makes them the most their money, they shrink.
Yes.
They shrink the size of the classroom, the amount of classrooms and the teacher's room. The thing that generates the money for the company, they decided to make smaller.
Yeah.
That is so logical.
Oh, yeah, well, of course. You know, why wouldn't you? You still have as many rooms, but they're just smaller. And, you know, the rest of the company really needs, really needs the space. And they've also cut out the heater, so there is no heating now in the teacher's room, you know, especially. And that means in the summer,
it's going to be hotter than balls.
Hotter than Hades, you know.
So you're not going to be hanging out in the teacher's room, basically.
No. I only go there once a week. I used to enjoy going there. Now I don't. There's just no space.
I guess once a week isn't too bad, but yeah, that's just the usual non-logical thing. And actually, companies around the world do that kind of shit. Yeah.
Yep.
But definitely, it seems like more than usual in English conversation schools in Japan. And actually, let me add one more thing to it. I was driving around your neck of the woods going toward Ohashi, and I saw that there was a small English school that I never heard of before, and it looked like it was like Takamiya or one of those stops before Ohashi on the right side. Greenwood Academy or some shit like
that. Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, and I've never seen it before in my life, and that kind of basically tells about the current market. It's not the big Eikaiwas anymore, yeah? It's the Nova barely has any schools. Geos went out of business. And if there's a Geos left, it's owned by Nova. Eon is in trouble. You know, they have still, ECC does pretty good because they do a lot of kids and a lot of juku type stuff, crime school type stuff. And then Tokyo, I guess there's Gaba English or something like that. But, and then for the ALTs, there's Interact. And down here is a small shitty one called Owls. But I think the one shop schools and or the really small chain schools are actually doing pretty well or surviving, I should say. So I think that's maybe the current 2011, end of 2011, that's the current way the market is going now. Would you say that's kind of accurate?
I think so, for sure.
So single owner schools or maybe franchises, like Nova has franchises as well.
I mean, back in the day, you come to Japan, you work for Nova or one of the other schools, and you'd work for one school because there was always plenty of money, there was plenty of work, and you could get plenty of privates. Now, if you, in a lot of cases, if you don't want to work for as an ALT, and you want to work for Eikaiwas, you're working for more than one. You've got to work for probably half a dozen to get what you would make back in the day,
Exactly. Or you're tied to that one school, which means you can't really call a sickie like you could before. If you call a sickie, you're the only one freaking working there, so owner has to fill in for you. So there's a lot more pressure, I guess, on you.
There is.
Back in the day, you know, Saturday morning, how many percent of the Nova teachers used to call in sick?
A big percentage.
Yeah, like 20% of the teachers around Japan, 20-30%, would call in hungover,
They'd say, I've done enough overtime this month. I'll have a sickie tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
And then one of us would get shafted for it and end up bloody having to do an Iron Man shift or something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly.
But you didn't want the extra money because you were getting plenty of money.
Yeah, so I think now, at least in Fukuoka, and I'm pretty sure it's the same most other places, the smaller schools are I guess you call mom and pop stores or one owner stores are actually the current champions, I guess, of English conversation schools.
Oh, for sure.
They're definitely able to stay in business and, you know, good or bad. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's just basically the state of the industry right now. Yeah. And then you got the ALTs companies and you got Jets kind of shrinking a little bit. You got the companies like Interact and some other ones, Maxi. There's some other ones out there that are filling in with contract ALTs. So that's kind of like the gist of the 2011 market right now as we see it?
Oh, yeah, I've got one more story. The Australia-Japan Christmas party we went to.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
On the 21st of December. I've seen you to tell you about that. But, yeah, you know, it's a different – I won't name the hotel just for,
protect the innocent.
Yeah, to protect the innocent. But, yeah, it was a different hotel. I was a bit suspect this year and my suspicions proved to be correct. You know, Australia is in the middle of a mining boom.
Yes.
There's plenty of money down there. There are plenty of jobs.
Yes.
And one would think that at the Christmas party there could be a possibility of some Australian beer.
Yes.
Some Australian beef.
And some shrimps on the barbie.
Yeah. Some Australian lamb.
Yep.
And how about even some Australian meat pies?
And Vegemite even.
Were they there? No.
No.
They weren't.
What did you have?
Well, they had some pies, obviously made in Japan, like an Aussie-style pie. They were all right, but they weren't really what I would call an Australian pie. They had, like, you know, the fried chicken and the pasta and some risotto and different things like that. But there was nothing really Australian about it. And the thing that really pisses me off, and it pisses me off every year, is that, you know, as you know what Japan's like, there are the speeches before we get started.
Oh, man.
So, of course, they bring all the beer out and put it on the tables first.
Oh, man, I hate that.
And the beer's warm by the time the 35 minutes worth of speeches are over.
Oh, man.
Now, if they had half a brain, you know, they would bring the beer out 5 minutes before the speeches were finished and then open the bottles and then do the campfire.
Exactly.
But I know, they bring the beer out beforehand, the bloody beer's warm.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. And I drink beer just to get drunk, and it's not really my favorite thing to drink, so I like a cold beer.
Exactly.
So it's like, you're just sitting there listening to these idiots, and you can't really take a sip at all, and it's like, you gotta wait for the first campfire that everyone does, you know, the cheers and stuff. So.
But there were, the presents were okay, and that, you know, it was all right apart from that. I must admit, there was some Aussie wine there, which was pretty good, some red and white wine.
Maybe they're pushing the wine now. Maybe
that could be it. But, anyway, my daughter won with the tickets, you know.
Cool.
She won a signed baseball.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know who signed it.
Speaking of baseball, you mentioned that, yeah?
Yeah, like Japanese baseball is smaller.
Smaller. So once you said that, I had to research Wikipedia.
Ah, right, yeah.
And it is smaller and wound tighter.
That's right, yeah.
And the fields are often a little bit smaller.
That's right,
And the strike zone's a little bit, you know, different, so.
And you can have a game.
Oh, you can have a tied game, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
In America, somebody has to freaking win the thing, yeah?
Exactly, yeah.
But in Japan, you can be tied, yeah.
Well, I mean, that happened once when, this is going back a while now, and I said to my wife, oh, who won? She said, oh, it was a tie. I said, no, you've got it wrong. Who won the game? She said,
you
can't
have a tie in baseball.
There's no tie. Oh, well, then I found out that there is a tie in Japan. It doesn't go past, I think, past the 12th innings.
Yeah.
Is that right?
You know, like those marathon ones in the U.S. that keep going.
Oh, man, they go for
I think Japan's like, fuck it. But, I mean, Japan, it's a business. You know, it's what the... Whatever, Ham and a SoftBank Hawk. So it's all company teams, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not city teams, yeah? The Yomiuri Giants, which is a newspaper or publishing company. So it's business. So they're like, okay, we're going to nip this one in the bud. No 17 inning fucking games or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. But and also she had a Melbourne Cup sweep and got some stuffed toys and then. My wife's friend won two tickets on the Mariana cruise, dinner. So she's very lucky.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was good. Another guy that I know, he won a 1 o'clock, so he was happy. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But apart from that.
2011 is done.
It is done, isn't it? That's it.
So we're going to roll into next year, and I think we should be able to manage two shows a month, yeah? What do you say?
Yeah, we can fit two in.
Yeah, I think we do two a month. You'll probably get more blogging, more photo blogs. So, like I said, we'll probably do a little bit more photo blogging now that Tony has a new smartphone.
Oh, yes. When I get to use this sucker,
and I'm going to give you a special email. So anytime you see a cool picture, you can send it to a special email and I'll automatically post it.
Oh, cool. That's a good idea.
So a lot more photo photos and blogging and two shows a month, most likely. Maybe three, depends. We'll at least give you two a month.
Show what we can fit in.
And some videos and stuff like that. So, for Eric the Yank, I gotta wish everybody a happy new year.
And from Anthony the Crank, yes, have a happy, healthy, safe and prosperous new year.
Prosperous, that's the word I was looking for.
That's it, yeah. Get the money.
Get the money and prosperous
have
new
a good
year.
One.
Yep.
Okay. 2012 is almost here.
We shall see you next year.
Yep. Bye.